You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs. I'm Daniel Bache. Claire Patak is owner of East London bakery Violet. Originally from Northern California, Claire honed her craft at Chez Panisse under the world-renowned chef and restaurateur Alice Waters. After moving to London in 2005, Claire launched her own business as a stall in the well-known Broadway market. In 2010, Claire opened Violet in Hackney. What was originally intended as just extra kitchen space became the small, charming cafe still run today. Earlier this year, Claire's work and American-style desserts caught the eye of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, who hired Claire to create their royal wedding cake. She is also the author of 4 cookbooks and the host of her own podcast series, Violet Sessions. For today's episode, Claire sat down with Monocle's Tom Edwards to share her journey and success.
Claire, welcome to Midori House. It's very good to have you with us. Thanks for coming to
see us.
I'm sure you're quite busy because I was reflecting on your many achievements and the challenges you must face every day simply finding time to do anything. Do you have a secret? Are you super organized or
are you good at
prioritizing? Are you super disorganized?
I'm not super disorganized. I have everything is in the air. All the balls are in the air the whole time. And I want to be a more organized person.
How have you done all the things that you've done then?
Delegating.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
we like
I'm
a bit
good
of that.
At that.
And is that one of the secrets to your success, do you think? Sort of identifying talent? Because I wanted to ask you a bit about your own experience working with someone like Alice Waters, for example. Is that all it's about? Because good people?
It's a huge part of it. You've got to have a vision, for sure. And you've got to have a passion for it. It's like the most cliche word, but it's really valid. It's really true. You need that. You need to love it because it's hard sometimes to get up and keep going.
Absolutely. I don't know why you looked at me so pointedly then. I do my best. Tell me a bit about having a campaigning zeal almost. I guess it's kind of allied to this. And I mentioned Alice Waters, who obviously was such an inspiration and is a very sort of principled person. Do you consider yourself to have a calling in some way? I mean, do you have these sort of principles you try and stick to, or do you just try and get everything done?
I do have principles. I'm wary of kind of making claims sometimes because it's difficult to run a business, be profitable, and do all of the things that you set out to do. But it doesn't mean you don't keep trying to do that. So I was born in Northern California and grew up with the ethos that Chez Panisse shares, just kind of ingrained in me. And then when I went to work there, I saw how you could do it and run a business doing that. However, Chez Panisse is such a unique, amazing place. And there's so many of us chefs that leave there and go and open our own businesses and try to be 100% organic and pay our staff really well and give chefs like a 4-day work week and all these things. And you realize that it's actually a huge luxury to be able to do that. So we really try. And I constantly check in with Alice and I'm like, how do I do it? she says, just keep going and stay as true as you can. So
I wonder, did you ever have moments, I guess, maybe around that time when you moved on from Chez Panisse, did you think, can it be better than that? Did you sort of wonder, have I just kind of lucked into a degree and made this fashion, this opportunity also for myself? But, am I at the, is this as good as it could get? Because it must have been an amazing place, the dynamism, all those great people.
Yeah, absolutely. When I started there in 2002, there were people that had been there for 22 years, still working in the kitchen. And I was really fortunate because I was there at this moment where, the founding fathers, so to speak, mothers were there in the kitchen still. So I learned from them and that really made an impression on me. And I didn't want to leave, but I fell in love and wanted to move to London. So I did that. I pursued that instead of staying at Chez. But I made a point of staying connected with the people at Chez and especially with Alice, and her daughter Fanny is one of my great friends. So that helps, but I didn't want to leave. I mean, I did feel like it was the greatest job in the world, So coming to London, I looked at working in other restaurants and then I realized I just needed to start my own business.
That moment of realization, I'm always interested in how that then leads to what's the blueprint? Obviously, you'd learned from some of the best, but was there a degree of serendipity to how things started? Did you sort of know exactly how you wanted to make that step? Are you still kind of refining the process in a way all these years later, and with all your successes? How, what was that?
Well, one of the things that really marked the time was that Broadway Market had just relaunched, and it had been, I think, 6 months that it had reopened after being closed for 20 or 30 years. I can't remember how many, but quite a long time. And when I realized that I could start a market stall from my house, do what I wanted to do, just simply as a creative outlet, that's really where it began, because I knew that I wouldn't be able to support myself, you know, one day a week on a market that nobody knew about at that time. And still people were sort of, you know, quite critical of the East End, actually. Yeah, I took a risk, but it was really like this creative draw that I had to do that. And I think, yeah, serendipity had a lot to do with it. I, you know, there was this moment, it was late 2005, and this food thing and market thing was just exploding here in London, and so there was a real appetite for it. So I think that luck and serendipity have a bit of a part to play.
But you make your own luck. This is a truism,
true.
Of course.
Yes.
Did you find, I guess, particularly in the earlier years, that the business requirements, the pressures, did that butt up against that creativity you were talking about, or did you find actually you were able to overlay those two things? I wonder whether, to a degree, the sort of business demands are always in conflict a little with the creative drivers, which can be quite expensive, and there's more variables if you're trying
to
come up with creative solutions. Did you find that that was a balancing act that was very difficult to strike?
Luckily, I'm really interested in the business side of things, so I found a kind of competitive edge that I didn't realize I had so much that helped, because my mom owned her own business and my brother owns his own business, and so, you know, it was kind of in me a little bit. And then I loved the idea of having a successful business, and also of, as we were speaking about earlier, continuing on with the ethos of Chez Panisse, running a business that people wanted to work in. That became the new challenge when the baking challenge was sort of met.
What about some of the other kind of principles? We started off talking a little bit about that. And things which I guess now seem to be, pleasingly, very much in the common food vernacular. Talking about organic, talking about provenance, talking about seasonality. Have we broken through that sort of barrier where that was a niche? Oh, it's an organic restaurant. And now that's almost the expectation for a lot of consumers. Are we still a ways away from that? Is it good to not become complacent about it? Where are we at in that sort of, on that journey?
We can't become complacent. I mean, just look at the President of the United States. We cannot become complacent.
I try to avoid looking at him when I can.
I know. Okay, think about him. Or, you know. Anyway, it's definitely something that we have to constantly work towards and for. And it just goes back and forth and back and forth all the time. We all are experiencing this with Brexit here and Brazil, the president, you know, it's crazy. So we have to, and organic is at threat and risk all the time. So no, we've got a lot of work to do. And especially in this country, I think organic has gotten to the point where it should be, unfortunately, because a lot of times the excuse is, or the reason is that farmers say it's too expensive to get the, you know, accreditation. And I think that we've got to find a better way for the earth, especially, and our kids. So, yeah.
And do you think that, I mean, often when we talk across all of our programs and our general sort of agenda here at Monocle, it seems to come often to the private sector leading the way, people who are running great businesses who say, look, I am demonstrating that this can be done. It can be profitable for everybody in the true sense of the word. Would you like to see more support? Is that coming from government or from the public sector? I mean, we know there are leaders in the private space, not just in organic foods, but across the board. Do you feel there's enough discussion about it, interest in it, willingness to take a long view from governments and the like?
On a small scale, yes. I mean, there's great people doing great things with, you know, chefs in schools. Henry Dimbleby is a great pioneer of that. And, you know, we've got, my daughter will get to go to a school that has, you know, an ex-Ottolenghi chef, Nicole. She's amazing. And Ollie, they both make this amazing food. And it's like in middle school, you know, it's so great. And those are kind of things that are happening on small scales. But yeah, there could definitely be more.
I apologize in advance for asking you about this, because I'm sure you're absolutely fed up. But obviously we had the royal wedding cake. And on that point, is it the kind of thing where you think, oh, God, you know what? I almost wish I'd never got anything to do with it. Or has it just been a really fun? Has it been all good?
Quite the contrary. Yeah, no, it's been amazing. It was amazing to work with the couple who have many also similar ethos, share same similar ethos, and do some really amazing work. And so fact that they chose Violet to be the cake maker for their wedding was huge, because it meant more than just the cake. Mm. And I feel that it's given me a really exciting new kind of push to grow the business in an interesting way. And it's been wonderful for business. Obviously, there's been a lot of attention. But beyond that, it was really lovely. It was a lovely experience from start to finish. It was amazing to be a part of history that way. Yeah, and there's lots of new things on the horizon, so that's brilliant.
And you get to have one of those, you know, by royal appointment, your crest, lion rampant, all that kind of thing.
It's 5 years of service before you get one of those, but it's been 1 year now.
You'll chalk that up. it'll take 5 years, but maybe they'll make an exception in your case. let's just look to the future briefly, maybe finally, Claire, because we've already talked about all of the facets of the business and food style and cookbooks and all the rest of it. Do you have another cookbook? Kind of.
Oh God, yes. I'm working on it. I'm very, very slowly working on it.
That's the season, right? Oh God, yeah. I don't know. How do you? Because you talked about juggling all these things, spinning all these plates at once. How do you kind of almost decide what to do next? Because you must be barraged with people asking you to get involved with different projects and all the rest.
I think I have to weigh a couple of things. I weigh the things that really excite me, because I know I'll do a really great job on the things that excite me. I try to be slightly strategic about where I want my business to go and what I want for the next few years. And then also, I just try to be open to what new experiences might come up. And so often, the thing that you kind of, you know, you've got an email about, you're sort of like, I don't know what that is. Is that interesting? It turns out to be the most exciting project. So yeah, I try to look at everything with fresh eyes.
Thank you to Claire Patak for coming in to share the story of Violet. Thank you as well to Tom Edwards for the interview and to Kieran Matthew Banerjee, who mixed this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.